All right, take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 this morning. Appreciate that song. Hope that's your prayer this morning. Do not pass me by. Genesis chapter 4. We'll look at the first 7 verses. We're going to look at a lot of this chapter this morning and talk about the right sacrifice, And we'll take our text from Genesis this morning. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Genesis, the Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." By the way, if you think about Eve, Eve was promised the seed of a Messiah. Her very thought process could have been, is this him? And because the Lord had promised that through her seed that the Messiah would come, and that would be the seed that bruised Satan's head. And so in her mind, she's thinking, this could be him. And as she cuddles this baby named Cain, that just kind of think about that. But it says, I've gotten him from a man from the Lord. And then verse 2 says, "And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, But Cain was a tiller of the ground. One was a shepherd, one was a farmer." Verse 3 says, "In the process of time," you say, how much time? I don't know, it's just a process. "It came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." So if you could imagine, there's two brothers. They both bring an offering to the Lord. Cain brings an offering that is of the fruit of the ground. And then you have Abel that comes, and he brings of the fruit of the flock. In other words, he brought the firstling of the flock. He brought a lamb before the Lord, so to speak. Now look at what happens is that the Lord accepted Abel's sacrifice. But in verse 5 it says, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." You ever had your countenance fall? Somebody ever irritated you? You're having a great day. Hallelujah. Anybody like that? Okay, let's put it where we're at. Driving to church. We got the kids ready. Breakfast was done. There's no smoke. The hair's done, ladies. The makeup's just right. Guy's driving, all of a sudden, you look over at your wife or husband. We're going to be late. Right? You understand what he's saying when his countenance fell. You could see it in his face, the anger that he felt toward his brother. And of course it leads to one of the most horrific first murders of the Bible. Of life itself, it becomes the first human murder of the Bible. Because of jealousy, because of rage, this murder happened. And then you can read the rest of it. And of course, Cain was marked for the rest of his life. And the Lord kept him alive. And of course, he comes to Cain. He says, "Where's Abel at?" You know, God knew where he was at. But he had asked his parents before that, "Where art thou?" He knew where they were at when they were in the Garden of Eden. But he was asking, and he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" You know, we say that a lot. We've heard that statement a lot. And so what happened is that Cain had killed his brother Abel, if you continue reading the story. This is, of course, a tragedy that takes place in the Bible. Now, if you go back to chapter 3, verse 21, you see that this is not the first sacrifice that was ever made. The first animal sacrifice that was ever made. In verse 21, it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." We know that to get coats of skin, somebody had to die. There was an animal that had to die. And because of that, that was a blood sacrifice that was used to... Because remember, they made fig leaves. That didn't work. That didn't cover them too well. Why? Because that's a picture of man's attempt of covering themselves from God. But God could still see through them. God required one thing for sin. That was blood. We know that reading through the book of Hebrews that the blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Is that you can't be saved unless there's blood involved. By the way, we don't really know what kind of sacrifice God asks from them. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that he asked of them of a blood sacrifice. Matter of fact, if you study the book of Leviticus, the fruit was an offering unto the Lord. And really, the lamb and the fruit could have been for the same type offering. But here's the thing, is that there's one key thing, and we're going to look at this as we go through here. The one key thing that separated Cain from Abel was one word. And we see it in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Turn over there if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, keep your finger back over there in Genesis, but turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look a little more into the story. Hebrews chapter 11. Find it myself. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to look at verse 4. Because here's the key. Now, the scripture in Genesis chapter 4 doesn't give us a lot about the offerings. It doesn't give us a lot why God accepted one and why God didn't. We can take one thing in account, that God always required a blood sacrifice, that it was going to be a picture that was going to be found from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through the Bible, all the way through eternity, that the blood sacrifice was going to be needed. But I believe that we can take from the Scripture today that one word that separated Cain from his brother Abel and vice versa. Notice, if you will, verse 4 of chapter 11. The Bible says, by faith. There's the key to the whole ordeal in Genesis chapter 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God. Now notice the wording here in your Bible. A more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So obviously he gave God what he required. Amen. Now think about that. Because we're living in a world today where man is attempting to give God something that he's not asked for. Man has attempted to give God something that he's not required of us. By the way, God's not asking you to give your life for your sin. God's not asking you to take and to cut yourself for your sin. Hallelujah. He required one thing. His Son to come and die on the cross to be the Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world. And here's our part of it. By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And so if you continue reading there in Hebrews, he says, let me read the whole thing. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained, now notice this, witness that he was righteous. You mean faith equals righteousness? You better believe it. Read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith he was accounted righteous. He was accounted righteous. That's how Abraham got saved. He had faith in God that one day the Messiah was going to come. And because of that faith that he had put in God that the Messiah was going to come, it says that he was made righteous. Now, read on down. He says, God testifying of his gifts, and by him being dead, yet speaketh. Abel was still speaking. By the way, I believe this with all my heart, and the scripture kind of alludes to it. Every day of Cain's life, he heard his brother speaking. His blood crieth out from the ground, as we see in the scriptures. Let me give you a few things this morning that we're going to look at and talk about the right sacrifice. And as we look at, let me give you a couple things about Abel, and you already kind of seen these, but two things about Abel that we'll look at, and then two things about Cain that we'll move on. Number one, God had respect unto his offering. In verse 5, we see that. It says, unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Why? Because in verse 4, it says that he did unto. Now, notice what it says. In Abel, verse 4, says, he brought of the firstlings of the flock thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So God accepted one, and God rejected the other. By the way, anything outside of Jesus Christ, God rejects. You try to go any other way to heaven, and God's going to reject it if it's not through Jesus Christ. You say, well, I was baptized as an infant in the Catholic Church. No, that's not going to work. You can say, I've been baptized in the Baptist church. Amen. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, I don't care how wet you got, you just got wet. Amen. The Bible doesn't say that by baptism or by church membership. It's amazing how some churches just accept people, don't even ask them about their salvation. It's amazing when you get into a church without being saved. That ought to be a safeguard of a church. Right. It's the first question I ever asked anybody as a pastor. The first time when they come down, I didn't ask them, how much can you tithe? I was thinking about it. No. But the first question I'd ask the whole family, and I'd look them in their eyes, and I'd say, tell me when you were saved. I didn't want to hear yes or no if you're saved. Now, different churches do it different ways, but I like for them to tell me. Tell me how you got saved, because sometimes you'd be like, can I come over and speak to you tonight after church? Because your testimony doesn't match up with the Bible. It's not about some experience you had. You'd be surprised what you hear out there. Well, I was in Walmart one day. I was walking. I don't know why a lot of salvations happen there. Maybe we spend too much time there. But I was walking down the aisle, and all of a sudden, something just came over me. That's when I was saved. Thinking, I've been in Walmart, and some things have come over me. But it wasn't salvation. And when his countenance fell, right? Man's attempt, it's just like Cain. Cain was bringing something that he knew. By the way, let me throw this out there to you also, is that Cain didn't bring this not knowing. Nowhere in the Scripture do you see where man didn't know what to do when they came before God. God always told them beforehand, here's what I require of you, and here's what I need. And by the way, God would not have done anything different to Cain and said, well, Cain says, well, I didn't know what to bring. He knew what to bring. He knew what kind of offering God was asking of him. He took the shortcut. By the way, it's a lot easier to go out in the garden, grab some vegetables and bring it before somebody than it is to go out there to your cow pasture and bring a cow up there and slaughter him and take the... Matter of fact, we're going to look at that here in a little bit. He took the fat and the blood and separate it and bring it before the Lord. By the way, let's get a picture this morning. I know some of y'all don't like blood. Some of y'all sing, when I see the blood, I will pass out. But could you imagine when Cain come in, he may have a little dirt under his fingers. But could you imagine when Abel come in? He looked like he'd worked for a slaughterhouse. He had worked. He had did what he could to give God what he required. Could you imagine the blood stains on him? By the way, I'm stained by blood today. I'm covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no fruit that has ever covered me. Amen. It's not by an offering of fruit. It's by an offering of blood. That his sacrifice was accepted. Well, number one, we know about Cain is that Cain about Abel was that God had respect unto his offering. Number two is that we see through Hebrews chapter 11 that he had faith. Matter of fact, if you read over in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 35, you can write that down. The Bible calls him righteous. That Abel was considered righteous in Matthew 23:35 is that God said, or Jesus Christ said specifically that Abel was the righteous. Can I say that he was only righteous because of his faith in Jesus Christ, in the coming Messiah? A couple things we know about Cain is that, this is kind of a joke, but he was not Abel. It's kind of a joke, kind of not, but... Some of y'all think about that and you'll laugh here in a little bit. But number one, we see a couple things about Cain is that Cain was controlled by Satan. Let me show you this in 1 John chapter 3. Turn over to 1 John. I hate to use my Bible so much on preaching, but 1 John. Like Brother Dr. Barber always says, oh, here we go. We're using our Bible again. 1 John. I know I'm amongst people that use their Bible. Now notice what the Bible says that about Cain in 1 John chapter 3. Of all places in the Bible, it's kind of weird this over here in 1 John, talking about love, talking about fellowship. And it says in 1 John, that's right before 2 John, and it says chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says this. Now, he's kind of saying, little children, don't be this way, okay? He says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because, now notice this, his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Doesn't that give you that he was controlled by the wicked one? Now who's the wicked one? We can only gather that that's one person. That's the Satan himself. Is that now we kind of get the picture of Cain is that he was controlled by the devil, just as Judas was in the New Testament, being a disciple. He may have came from the right family. He may have been in the right crowd, but his spirit or his being was wrong because he was being controlled by the wicked one. Number two, the thing about Cain is that his actions showed who he was. By the way, our actions show who we are. When Cain brought this offering before the Lord, I can't help but to think that maybe he thought in his mind, maybe he won't notice that I'm not giving him what he wants. Kind of like kids. I always use my kids as an example. You know, it's kind of like you come in, you like kids sweep the house, you know, mop and all this. And you come in, you see a hump in the rug. And your kids are standing in front of it going, what? Hope you don't notice that hump in the rug where they swept everything under there. Or if you say, hey, go clean your room, and they come out like in 5 seconds, they go, done. Like a calf, you know, done. You walk in there, you're like, what's in your closet? Nothing. Did you think I wouldn't notice that you didn't do what I told you to do the way I told you to do it? You open that closet door and it's like tumble balls, yeah. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Cain comes and he knew what he was doing. I'm telling you, God told him what to do. God is not going to ever ask anything of you that he's not going to instill you to do and help you to do and tell you how to do. By the way, when God came to Noah and said, Noah, build an ark, God didn't go, this ought to be fun, and walk away, did he? No, he gave Noah the plans. He told Noah what to do, how to do it. Why? Because he knew Noah couldn't build the ark without his plans. By the way, God didn't leave salvation up to us to guess about it. Well, I wonder how I can get saved. Well, you know, hey, if you listen to a lot of preachers, well, just ever how you feel. You just all come, and as long as you're happy, as long as you set your mind to going to heaven, you're going to go to heaven. You're wrong. Because God's given us the plan. You know, if you take a set of blueprints and you go, well, these are all right, but I think I'm going to do my own thing. Go right ahead. That building's not going to be right. Why? Because you're not going according to the plan. So what am I talking about? Cain here brings this offering knowing, but here's the thing, is that his actions showed us his true spirit. Now, if I brought something to the Lord and I wasn't really sure what he wanted and he said, I don't accept that, I'd go, oh, man, missed it. I'll go back. But guess, look what happened. When God said, I accept, and I don't know how God did this. I don't know if, matter of fact, if you read some commentaries, it says that God met with the Adam and Eve and the children at the tree of life. I don't know. I don't know where they went to make this offering. I don't know how God accepted it. I can only imagine that maybe it was like it was in a tabernacle. Maybe the cloud came down and was showing acceptance. I don't know, but I do know this, is that Cain knew that his offering was rejected. And that Abel's offering was respected. And guess what he did? Well, his countenance fell. He got angry. He was kindled with anger. And he sought to kill his brother. Went out there and murdered his brother. See, actions tell us who we are. By their fruit you shall know them. Isn't that amazing? It still works today. And so as we go on down, I didn't get no amens there. Keep going. Cain's offering was a picture of man's way to God. Abel's offering is a picture of God's way, God's plan. Abel's fate separated him from his brother. Now let me give you this. We fast forward a few thousand years, a couple thousand years, 1,500 years. What happens? We see Jesus come on the scene. Behold the Lamb of God. John looks upon the shores of the Jordan. He says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Here he is. Jesus lives 3.5 years, or 33 and a half years. His earthly ministry was 3.5 years. Jesus is perfect. Why was Jesus perfect? Because in the law, God required that the Lamb should be spotless, without blemish. By the way, 33 and a half years is hard. No man can live that long and be sinless unless he's God. You try living 33 and a half minutes without sinning. You say, I can do it. You get out on 35 and try it. You see how your mind works. Amen? Some of you say, oh, I don't sin. You get behind somebody that waits 1 second after that light turns green, and your Christianity comes out in a form of a horn. Right? But Jesus lived perfectly for 33 and a half years, perfectly. No sinful thought, no sinful deed. Nothing he ever did was out of the will of God. Nothing that he did ever broke 613 laws, not one of them. He was perfect. Because of him being who he was, he was put on trial. By the way, I think this trial was a mockery trial. By the way, they really never found him guilty. Matter of fact, they said, "We find no fault in him." But the reason they crucified him was because of the people, not because of something he'd done. Matter of fact, you study in the Old Testament, when the high priest went into the holy place, the Bible says he had to go in there for himself and for the sins of the people. Because why? The high priest was a sinner. He had to sacrifice for himself. But when Jesus came to the cross, he was coming there for the people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He was becoming the right sacrifice. By the way, what a slap in our Savior's face when you say, "I'll go my own way. I'll try to get to heaven my own way." When you say, "I'll work my way to heaven," I have a family member like this. My dad. My dad thinks that God's going to weigh his good and his bad, and that how can God reject me after all the good I've done in life? I'll tell you how God can reject you. It's because you didn't trust in His Son, and your sins are forever before Him. And the only way to get them covered is to come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You died. I believe You was buried, and that You rose on the third day. And Jesus, look at me. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Would You save me?" And Jesus will say, "Yes, I'll save you. I'll cleanse you from all your sin." From which sins will He forgive you? From those from the past, those from today, and those from tomorrow. Why? Because when God looks at us, He sees us sinless. He sees us righteous. Glory. You're saying that I can be saved by one sacrifice? By the way, it was a powerful sacrifice. Over 2,000 years ago was that sacrifice made, and it's still as powerful today as it was the day that Jesus died on the cross. The blood that came rushing down from our Savior's head, from the brow that they placed that crown of thorns on. By the way, they didn't just set it on there. The Bible says they platted the crown on there. They took a reed and they beat it into His head, and the blood became down from His cheeks. They plucked His beard. I'm telling you, folks, they spit on Him. They made fun of Him. And they said, "If You be the Son of God, why don't You get off that cross?" By the way, I'd take a lot of beating, but when somebody spits on me, one biggest fight I ever had in high school was I was riding the bus one day and a boy called my name, and I turned around and he spit on me. I prayed with him, and I let him rest for a little while. By the way, I probably had done something to that guy over the course of our high school years. I probably deserved it. But Jesus didn't deserve it. Jesus not one time was unkind to anyone. Not one time did Jesus have a thought of impurity. Not one time did Jesus ever come and say something that was derogatory or something that was demeaning to somebody. Why? Because He was Jesus. He was God in the flesh. When Cain come before the Lord, and he brought this fruit offering, he was hoping that God would overlook the flaw. God said, "No. I ask one thing of you. I ask that you bring it by faith." When Abel came, he brought that before the Lord. I believe in Abel's heart, "God, this is what You've asked of me. And God, here it is." And Cain backs away from that offering as he lays it at the feet of the Lord, and God accepts it and has respect unto it because that's what God required. Why did Jesus come? Because that's what God required for our sin. I'll tell you what, America's in bad shape. This person don't like this person. We got Democrats, Republicans, white, black. Here's the thing. You know what's wrong with America? It's not race. It's not politics. It's you have lost and you have saved people. By the way, if you're saved today, it don't matter what color you are. Amen. Don't matter what background you came from. God looks at you as the same as everybody else. But the problem with America today is that we got lost people. What do we expect them to do? Act like lost people.
Amen.
What are we to do? We're to reach them. We're to tell them there was a sacrifice. Jesus died for the lost people. Jesus died for all mankind. I want you to go back. I want to show you something real quick, if you will. Go back to verse 4 of Genesis 4. 4:4. Show you this, and I'll kind of wind us down here in just a moment. I'm sorry I'm so excited today. But, and this message, I actually had a week to prepare this message and stood 30 minutes like normal. When I get that call from Miss Tanya, Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Usually that's where our conversation starts off with, and I'm like, I got it. He's sick. He gone. All right. Notice verse 4. It says, and Abel he brought of the firstling and of the flock. Now notice this next statement. And of the fat thereof. Study that statement. You'll find it in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 6. Here's what Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 6 says at the end. It says, and burn the fat, here it is, for a sweet savor unto the Lord. By the way, Abel did it right. His sacrifice was done right. He knew that by separating that fat from the meat, separating the fat from the sacrifice, and burning that, and giving it unto the Lord as a separate, he knew that that was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. You know what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says? And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for an offering. Now notice that statement. Two things. For an offering and a sacrifice to God. For a sweet smelling savor. Folks, can I tell you Genesis chapter 4 is a great picture of our coming Messiah. That he one day was going to have God look down upon him and Jesus. And God said this. Whew. God said, today, this is my son. In whom I'm well pleased. You know what God was saying? This is what I required. You know what's so sad about today? There's people maybe in this auditorium, you're trying to live a good life. I don't believe in luck, but good luck to you. Because you're never going to do it. You're never going to live a good enough life to make it to God. You know why? Because God doesn't ask for good lives. Matter of fact, I believe the Scripture says there's none good, no, not one. That's what Romans tells us. By the way, God doesn't want good. God wants perfection. And none of us here today, because we're from the seed of Adam, can ever be perfect without Jesus Christ. It breaks my heart, my own family, trying to do good. People think all the time, well, I hadn't killed anybody. Didn't rob anybody. Didn't do this, didn't do that. Sorry, you're still going to lose. Why? Because that's not what God requires. God requires one thing, for you to put your faith in Jesus Christ and let Him take your place. When you try to go your own way, when you think that baptism is the way to heaven, when you think that being a member of a church is the way to heaven, when you think that being a good person is the way to heaven, you're saying, Christ, thanks for coming, giving your life, but I got this. No. You don't got this. Jesus was the greatest sacrifice ever. Let me end with this thought. And this is a long thought. So don't get too excited. You know where I'm going with this. Today, we don't have to sacrifice anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can pet your cat and never have to sacrifice it. Even though you probably should. We have a little Dachshund. We have a little wiener dog at the house. I would hate to know. I'm so attached to that thing. I act like I don't really like her, but I like her. Wouldn't it be bad if you had to sacrifice your animals? Look out at your cow pasture, and Brother Hokett looks out there and looks at all those head of cattle and knows he's going to have to give them up. I'm glad we don't have to do that. I'm glad we have to look at our children and say, kids, today we got to go outside. We got to get that lamb that we've put in that special part of the barn. Today's the day of sacrifice. I'm glad I don't have to tell my children that. I'm glad that there was one sacrifice for all man, for all time. And it was Jesus Christ. So we don't have to sacrifice anymore. Hallelujah. So let's talk about the Christians today. What are we to do? You know where I'm going. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at that and I'll be done this morning. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I was always taught, never mark your Bible where you're going to. And the reason you don't do that, because you get there before everybody else. And start reading before anybody gets there. So I turn with you. It's a good, young preachers, I learned that. I still get there before you. Sometimes just because my page is kind of ready to go. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. What are we to do today, Christians? What is our sacrifice? Well, here it is. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the way, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that His mercies are new every day. So this is to be perpetual, okay? That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here it is, holy. And here's the word that we see over in chapter 4. When the Bible says that God had respect, that means He accepted it. Here's what God says. Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, that's the ground level. This is what you're supposed to do as a Christian. This is the bare minimal. And the verse continues, verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As a Christian today, God's not asking you to kill yourself. Amen. God's not asking you to kill your animals. He's asking you to present your body to Him as a living sacrifice. Every day of your life, you're to live as if you're dead to yourself. Amen. By the way, you can say, I don't really like myself, but boy, we sure do spend a lot of time on ourselves. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's easier to spend time on me than it is to spend time with God sometimes. You know why? Because I'm in the way. You know what I fail to do some mornings? I fail to get up and say, Michael, it's not about you today. It's about you, God. Here's my body. Here's my life. Use it. You'd be surprised what God could do if the church, if the members of Heritage Baptist Church, if every Christian here this morning would just say, God, here's my life. Whew. Number one, we'd have revival. There'd be a shouting hallelujah because God would use us. Every Christian this morning needs to offer themselves as a living sacrifice. I got to give you 3 points. If I didn't, it wouldn't be a sermon. 3 things, I'm just going to mention them. Number one, here's what happens. Too many Christians offer sacrifices that are 3 things. Number one, conditional. God, I'll give my life to you if you'll do this with me. Be careful. Be careful. I say it all the time. I come before the Lord. I say, now, Lord, here's my life, but do not send me to Hawaii to be a missionary. I don't want to go there. Just kidding. I don't do that. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll do this for me. By the way, that's not what... When they brought the lamb before the priest and they sling that lamb didn't get a choice. He didn't say, you know, could you just cut one leg off today? He didn't get a choice, did he? He didn't say, you know what, could you put me on this place at the altar? Could you do this with me? He didn't get a choice, did he? Matter of fact, you say the Lord Jesus Christ, it says when He came as a lamb before shears was, what? Solid. He came as an offering, a sacrifice. He didn't depict what was going to happen. God had already predicted it. We bring sacrifices that are conditional. Number two, we bring sacrifices that are convenient. Well, I ain't got nothing else to do today. Lord, you can have my life. You know, it sounds funny, but there's no faith involved. Cain's offering had no faith involved. By the way, if you plant cucumbers, think about this. If you plant cucumbers, and cucumbers were in the Bible, they had them in Egypt, we know that. You plant onions, you go out there and pick up a basket of them, you bring it, that's not really that big of a sacrifice. Right? Anybody raise cucumbers? Those things are like, they're like rabbits. I mean, they're just everywhere. You know? I mean, just psh. Like, wow, where did the, I mean, you look under that leaf, there's another one. My grandfather used to raise those cucumbers, and man, you'd be out there picking those things. He said, you missed a whole bunch. You look back down there, and they're hiding underneath the leaves. But you take away a lamb. You take away something that has life. That's a true sacrifice. And then the third thing is that too many Christians offer sacrifices not only that are conditional, convenient, but also that are counterfeited. In other words, they look good on the outside. By the way, there's a lot of people that offer themselves and act like they're sacrificing themselves in front of everybody else. But they're really not. By the way, be careful coming down to this altar and saying, I give my life for the Lord. Whatever He wants to do with me, I'll do. And people in this church are going to go, hallelujah. And you walk out of here and you go back to your old life. Can I say that was a counterfeit offering that you gave to the Lord? You walk out of here saying, God, I just made a vow to you. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. You walk out of here and you should say, God, I meant it. Every word I said, you used me. In 1996, Michael Wiggins went down to an altar. 1996, 97, 2024. That was when I was called, 96 to 94, I would say 96. I had to get my dates right. I won't be like pastor, just throw out dates. 90, and ages. Pastor guesses, I like that, I love it. So in 1996, I was at Faith Bible Baptist Church. And I went down to the altar and I said, God, it's not much here. But God, I give my life to you. Whew. I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't know I was going to come to Texas. I didn't want to come to Texas. I wanted to stay in Century, Florida. I thought I did. Now I don't want to go back there. I wanted to stay in small town America. I loved it. But you know what? It wasn't about me. It wasn't about where I wanted to go. It wasn't about where I wanted to take my family and show them. I wanted God to be in control of my life, and I wanted Him to direct me. Because why? God, I'd made a promise to you that, God, I said, I'm an offering. I bring my life before you. I'm a living sacrifice. Use me. And I'm still amazed that God's still using me today. Even though I fall and I falter and I fail God all the time, and God says, I'll still use you. Just come to me and ask for forgiveness. He's still using me today. But every day of my life, I have to come and I say, God, still not much here. There's more here than there was when I first said this in 1996. I weighed a whopping 130 pounds. But God, I'm still nothing if you don't take me and use me. Oh, but the days I don't say that, I take the reins of my life and I make a mess of it. Still saying, God, here you go. I ain't got this. Lord, it's you. Be a living sacrifice. I was thinking about this earlier. Back whenever I was a pastor, I would always, right after church, I'm real spiritual. Right after church, I'd find our treasure. Say, how much was in an offering today? Or I'd look at the little sheet. I wanted to know. You know how you can tell between a good offering and a bad offering? It's how much is in the plate. Amen. That was genius. Write that down, okay? Somebody pin that down. It's recorded. You can go back and listen to it. But we'd say, how much came in today? How much was in the plate today? Hallelujah. We pay bills today. Glory to God. How does God look at our life? How much is in the plate? How much did you leave on the altar? You either leave it all or you don't leave none. By the way, give it all to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to make a mess of it. God is not going to send you somewhere that's going to be detrimental to your life. God's going to place your life right where He wants it if you'll just give it to Him. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're bought with a price. Give it back to the one who bought you. The purchaser is Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Can I say there's no other way to get there? You may try to be good. That's only temporary. Trust me. You can't even sleep and be good most of the time. A lot of us are stealers even at night. We steal the covers from our wife or our thoughts. Listen, you can't get to heaven by your good works. Not a works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's how you get to heaven. The whole Bible is a picture of that. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they said, let's get some of these fig leaves over here and cover ourselves up. God said, why are you naked? We're not naked. We got fig leaves on. Nope, not going to work. Here, let me do something for you, God said. God sacrificed and took the clothing of that sacrifice and clothed them. It said, now I accept that. It wasn't nothing that Adam and Eve done. It was what God did for them. And here's the thing, is that when we get to the next generation, Cain and Abel, Cain tries to bring something that was not right. But Abel did. He brought what God required. All through the Scripture, we see that. When the tabernacle was set up, when the temple was set up, when Jesus came on the scene, it was still the same thing. A spotless lamb. A holy lamb without blemish. That's what God requires. You can't be that. You're sinful, man. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God gave you the way out, and that was Jesus Christ. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, we have an altar. We have people that come down here with their Bibles. We're not here to drill you. We're not here to get you to join the church. We're here to show you through the Word of God how you can be saved. What's the Bible say? I don't know about you, but I don't like man's opinion unless I ask for it. I don't like man's opinion about eternity, because if you want to get man's opinion about eternity, you're going to get a lot of different opinions. I would rather have the plan that God has. I'd rather know through the Word of God, and that's what we'll do. We'll take a Bible and show you. If you're here this morning and don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, we'll show you through the Bible. But Christians, this morning, let me ask you, how much of you is in the plate? How much of you, are you a good sacrifice today? Or are you not? You say, well, you know what? I know Jesus died for me, but I'm not going to give Him my life. We need to change our way of thinking, don't we? Because He died for us. He gave all. We should give all back to Him. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Musicians, come this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, let me invite you to the altar here in just a moment. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning. I'm not going to try to embarrass anybody here today. But I'm going to tell you what. If eternity for you means hell because you have went other ways than Jesus Christ, can I encourage you today to come and get it settled? Get saved today. You're going to have a lot of people in this church to rejoice with you. Matter of fact, the Bible says if one sinner repent, let the angels in heaven rejoice. There's going to be a lot of rejoicing. If you come and get saved today, God will take all of your sin and He'll wipe it away with His blood. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you've not given it all, today's the day you need to give it all to Him. Say, God, I don't want this life. I don't want to control this life. God, I want You. By the way, just because you do that, God's not going to call you to be a missionary necessarily. God's not going to call you to be a pastor necessarily. He may just call you to be a great church member for Heritage Baptist Church. He may call you just to be a great warrior, a good soldier for the cause of Christ. Yeah. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, I need you to come right after we pray here in just a moment. Father, we love You. Thank You for this day. And God, today I pleaded and I beg with the sinners here today that don't know Jesus Christ. God, my heart's broken for them. And I know Yours is too, because You gave Your Son to die for them. Lord, there's no sin too great that You can't forgive it this morning through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, if there be one here today that needs their sins covered today, needs them washed away. Lord, we sung the song earlier, Are You Washed in the Blood? Lord, the perfect sacrifice. Lord, maybe there's a Christian here today that just needs to give themselves. Lord, I pray today would be the day that, Lord, we'd all give ourselves to You as a living sacrifice. Love You, Lord. I ask You to bless this invitation. In Jesus' name.